Matthew 26. And I want to share what I believe is some of the meat of the word tonight and lay it out there on the table and see if you'll come and eat it. You know, in just a few weeks, I've got some little baby puppies, and they're still on their mama. But they start to open their eyes one by one. I've got 9 of them. And in just a little while, I'm going to start putting different food out there to supplement them. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to put it out there, and they'll come to get it. They'll come in and get it when they're ready. They can smell it. They can taste it. They know my voice. They know me picking them up and carrying them around. But anyhow, we need to know the voice of the Lord. It's so important. What do we do with this, that, and the other? Well, anyway, in Matthew chapter 26, I'm going to read beginning at verse 13. Okay? Right here. Now, this is the Lord's Supper. This is the Passover, the last Passover that Jesus had on earth. Now, does that sound like I'm coming out of a tunnel, or does it sound okay? Is it a little bit loud, or what do you think? Somebody talk to me. Sounds like a bucket. Well, what the heck? We'll just try to do the best we can with it. Angela, does it sound like a bucket back there? Does it sound okay? They adjusted it. Yeah, I can tell. All right, anyway, so they were there, and what happened, we'll start in verse 30, and then they sang a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives, very famous place. Where is Jesus returning at and the second coming of Christ? I'm not talking about the rapture. I'm talking about some years later when he comes back to earth. He's going to set his feet down on the Mount of Olives. And he's going to create a kingdom that will last forever. And those of us that are with him then, we're coming back with him according to the book of Jude. And you know what? Whatever it is we've learned on this earth, that's what part we're going to play in the millennial reign of Christ and then beyond. See, and so we want to give ourselves to knowing the things of God. And on the way, verse 31, Jesus told them, tonight all of you will desert me, for the scriptures say God will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will scatter. And I see that happen in so many churches. They'll start egging on the pastor, and the sheep will just scatter. So we've never allowed that here. Well, how did you stop that? With the authority and the power of God. That's never happened here. But after I have been raised from the dead, I will go ahead of you to meet you to Galilee and to meet you there. And Peter declared, even if everyone else, now listen to this, his intentions were good. Like in the song by the Animals years ago, I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh, Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. Amen. I can feel that song still. Peter declared, even if everyone else deserts you, I will not desert you. And Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, Peter. This very night, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me 3 times. You're going to deny that you even know me. And Peter said, no, Peter insisted, even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you. And all the other disciples vowed the same thing. Then Jesus went with them to the olive grove called Gethsemane and said, sit here while I go over there to pray. And he took three guys, and he pulled them out, and he brought them. He was bringing them closer. And I want to share a message with you tonight: the process of surrender. You know, if you grow properly throughout your growth, I'm now 71. You'll surrender more, and God wants more. In the last several years, Millie and I, every morning in our devotion, we pray, Heavenly Father. Father, into your hands we commit our spirits. Those are the last words of Jesus on the cross. We see them with what we're saying. We just want what you want. We don't want anything else. And he said, sit here while I go over there. So he took Peter and James and John, and he became anguished and distressed, and he told them, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." And he went a little further and bowed his face to the ground, praying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." Jesus was in a struggle. Now, Jesus never sinned. You know, it's not a sin to be in a struggle. It's a struggle to be in a struggle. Amen? You understand that? It's not, now, let me ask you, let me tell you something. He was every bit man, and he was every bit God. And the Word says that he learned things through things that he suffered and accomplished things through. Many times go hand in hand. You know, nevertheless, see, I'm going to challenge you before this service is over to come closer to God than you ever have. You know what I notice about prayers, my prayers, your prayers, other people's prayers is this. Lord, cause me to be able to marry that person. Instead of, see, it's your will. It's not what God wants necessarily, okay? You know, the Word says, do not be unequally yoked together with non-believers. Oh, they'll change for me. I've heard that come out of the mouths of husbands and wives. Oh, they're going to change for me. You know, the batting record for that isn't necessarily great. Let me share something with you. I was so strung out and broken from a terrible childhood. Terrible things happened to me that I'd go out with girls, but I never would try to get any closer than that until I met this young lady over here. I've got a never-ending love for you. From now on, that's all I want to do. From the first time we met, I knew I have never-ending love for you. After all this time of being alone, tomorrow's our anniversary. We got to love through 49 years. Live for each other from now on. Oh, feel so good. I can hardly stand it. How many of you know that song? Let's sing it together. No, I'm just kidding. I love you, sweetie. I'd ask you all over again, hon. And you know what? If it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be here. You're the best gift I've had. You're a Proverbs 31 woman, and they're far and few between. And you know what? I didn't ask him for anything except for one thing. Nevertheless, not my will, your will be done. Three times I remember the moonlight came into my room and the Holy Spirit woke me up and said, son, I want you to marry that girl right next door. She lived right next door. He said, don't be afraid to marry her. And I just said, yes, yes, Lord. And I just listened to him. But we're preaching a message tonight about the process of what does it mean to surrender? How do you surrender? See, when you've got your list and you want this and that, I remember, let me give you an example. There's been more than one woman said, pray that I have this baby early. You know, that's not a good prayer. I've been asked to pray that. I can tell you the names of the people. You might already know some of them. Because, see, it is written. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. And there is a time to be born. And there is a time to die. See, Lord, I just want you to give me what I want. And it'll work out. Trust me, Lord. It'll work out. And I just want you to fit into what... Isn't it true, Lord, I can have what I say? Well, yes and no. You can have what you say if you're saying what God wants, if you're saying what God's will is, if you're praying God's will. Now, listen to me, young fella. Remember how I showed you what them jacks do in the back of the trailer today? If you get this, this is even better. And you're going to have an opportunity while you're here to strengthen your life and strengthen your wife's life. And look here. When I share something, if you think, well, I did that, well, so did I. So get over it, and let's go on to the meat. And I believe that surrender to God is necessary, and I believe it is a process. In the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 38, in the New Living Translation, the Word of God says this. Luke, chapter 1. Verses 26 through 38. And in the sixth month, get this, y'all. This is the visitation by one of the archangels to Mary, the mother of Christ. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. To a virgin, he was sent to a virgin espoused to be to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now I'm going to try to pick that up here. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. And Gabriel said, "Don't be afraid, Mary. The angel told her, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David." Now, there's a few more verses, isn't there, fellas? If you could put them up for me, all the way to 38. Yeah. "And he will reign over Israel." Now, I want you to see this here. "His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." The angel replied, now listen to me, this only happened one time in history. And Mary was a beautiful young girl. She was very young, but she had a heart. The word says, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks upon the heart. And Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." And Gabriel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." That has to do with putting that baby inside of her. That's what that means, the breakdown of that Greek word. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. Now, what's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age, John the Baptist's mother. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail. Okay? Verse 38. Here's Mary's response. "I'm the Lord's servant." It says, "I'm the Lord's handmaiden. Be it unto me as you have said," or, "May everything you have said about me come true." She surrendered her will. What do you think Gabriel was doing there? He was getting this young person, and believe me, she was young. He was getting this young virgin to say yes to God. Not her will, but God's will. And you can read it, you can tell in the New Testament, she suffered for that. Well, how did she get pregnant? See, in that little town of Nazareth, she suffered for that. She considered all of that. And she is blessed among women. And nobody should say that she's not, because she is. That only happened one time in history. In the 22nd chapter of the book of Numbers, God made a jackass speak, a donkey. That only happened one time too. But I'm preaching a message tonight, the process of deeper surrender, how to surrender to the will of God and to let your will go. You know, it says the Lord's Prayer that he taught us, the first few words, "My Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name." I want you to say that with me. My Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Say, your will be done. Say, your will be done. Oh, Lord, give me what I want. I know it doesn't seem just right, but Lord, trust me, it's going to be all right. Man, my counseling office has been full, and still today, of people. It just doesn't work out. You know what works out? Things like what Brenda Nicole went through. 6 years ago, was it now, hon? 5 years ago? 6 years ago? Seven? 7 years ago. I've never seen anybody that strung out. This doesn't bother you, does it now? For me to share this? You know, you got a testimony, hon. I'm not Gabriel, but I'm a pretty good man of God. You got a testimony there. I've never seen anybody that. I've never seen anybody with such tremors. Me and Sam brought her up there, and when we got her out of the car and got her in there, I thought, she's in good hands now. Everything's all right. We didn't go 2 minutes, and they called us up at, what is it called, Gateway? Gateway up there. They said, look, you're going to have to come and get her. We can't keep her here. She is nigh unto death. She could die. So she said, she needs to go to the hospital. So the closest hospital there was in Van Buren, and we took her to that hospital. And how many days did you spend there? Two or three. What was they doing? They was getting that stuff out of her system enough that she wouldn't die from it. And then she underwent that program. And she stayed in there. And she stayed with it. We've sent hundreds to them programs. Not many of them. Not many of them. You know what she did? She decided, she looked at her life and she decided, I'm going to surrender my will to God. And she came out of Gateway. Amen. She came out of Gateway and she became a new mother. She became a new mom. She became a new person. And those children that just wanted her affection so bad, she embraced them in love. And you know what? I was shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame. That's not the whole story, though. Then the hand of Jesus touched me. And now I am no longer the same. If any man is in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, he becomes a new person. Don't tell me that doesn't work. It works. It works right now. It works right in Logan County. I've seen it over and over. I took a man the other day, led him to Christ. And he said, could I talk to you privately, Brother Angelo? I said, sure. And he said, would you take me to that place where you swim and baptize me? He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened. And now I know he touched me and made me whole. Don't tell me that God can't heal people. Don't tell me that God can't stop the rain when he's given us the power. You have the keys to the kingdom. In the Gospel of John, he said, the things you saw me do, you saw me walk on the water and still them seas, you're going to do greater things than that. We've got the keys We just need to use them. You're special. That's to you. Everybody in this room, you're special. You're forgiven. He loves you. He thinks tenderly of you. He wants to help you. He wants to give you a new life. When? Every day, a newer and newer life. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between the Lord and I. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. The blessings and the promises of God are to the surrendered. They're to the surrendered. Listen to this. I'm going to show it to you. Oh, maybe I should just keep it in place there. Give me Romans chapter 6 and verse 12, please. Verses 12 through 14 in the New Living Translation. Do not let sin control your the way you live. Where we are here. Do not give in to sinful desires. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It's a purification process. See, you need to be purified. I'm going to tell you. Well, I don't know if I can. I just love, you know, the things I just got. She did it. And I saw every bit of it. My little grandson's name is Colton Lewis. He's my namesake. Thank you, sweetie. Me and Colton went to Larry and Phyllis Turner's house the other day. He's 7 years old. Me and Larry was having a conversation in the den, and Colton and Phyllis was having a conversation up in the kitchen at the kitchen table. Finally, I hollered at him. I said, man, we wore it. I said, I've just talked so much. Colton, we got to go. And he said, all right, Papa. And he got up from his place. He was sitting right across from Phyllis, and he went to that little boy. Just went and got by Phyllis, and he just asked her, could I pray with you? He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened. And now I think, no, now I know. See, I know. He touched me and made me whole. You got made whole 7 years ago. You're catching up with it. Amen? I'm talking about surrender. That happened when she surrendered. I never seen anybody that sick. I'm sure people got sicker than that. I know people. We could name people we both know. Some of them might, it's kind of kin to you, that died. That same thing. You made it through. And you made it through. And you became a champion. And God just gave you everything. See, he gave it when you surrendered. He gave you Mike. Gave you a new Tahoe, isn't it? Me and Millie want to borrow for tomorrow for our anniversary. No, I'm just kidding. I remember when I owned about five of them 5 years in a row, brand new. Bam, bam, bam. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, now this is where I want to take you tonight, more than ever in your life. Give yourselves completely. Give yourselves completely. God ain't interested in 10% of your life. He wants the whole thing. Give it to him. It belongs to him. He's the creator. He's the only thing to know what to do with your life to make it turn out right. He's the only one that can give you peace. He's the only one that can take you to the next level. He's the only one that can heal your body. He's the only one that can change your life. One of these days I'm going to make a preacher. But until then, instead, Give yourselves completely. Give yourselves completely. God ain't looking for leftovers. He wants your whole life, young and old, in this room. He wants your whole life. When I was a 19-year-old kid, I gave him my whole life, and he began to change me one day at a time. And it hasn't been pretty. That little lady can tell you some things. Oh, my God. I was a stinker. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead. See, Brenda Nicole was dead, but now you have new life. Brenda Nicole has new life. So use your whole body, spirit, soul, and body, as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. As we surrender to God, God's grace comes on you. What's that? What's God's grace? It's getting blessings you don't deserve. You didn't deserve them, but you're listening. You're open to God. I'm going to ask you to open your hearts tonight before this service is over to a new level. I'm going to take you to the Garden of Gethsemane and see if anybody in here wants to say, Lord, I'm going to stop praying them old prayers like that. Nevertheless, I'm going to pray if it's your will. If it's your will, there's something I want to do. And I shared it with my wife, my partner here in life. And I want to know what God wants. See, because I have a desire. And I'm preaching a message. The process of surrender. We could just call it surrender. God doesn't want our leftovers. He wants our life. When? Right now is good enough for everybody. Right now. Today. 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 Give me 1 John chapter 3, 1 and 3. Boys in the sound booth, are you working on that problem that I told you about, bub? You got that working on? 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, say this. Behold! What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the children of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And look at here. Here, I want you to see that verse 3. And everybody that has this hope inside of them. See, it's taken me a long time, but I finally got sick and tired of trying to get what I wanted that wasn't part of God's plan. So many things I prayed for, it just wasn't in God. It just wasn't in God. I don't want to waste any more of my life. God's been patient with me. Somebody hear me tonight. And everybody that has this hope in them purifies themselves. They purify themselves. There's only one way to do that. It's called surrender. Surrendering to God. Surrender. And how do you do that? You surrender to his will. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, not mine, thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. Isn't it great when the preacher sings to you? Oh, man, I still sing pretty good, don't I? Oh, shut up. All right. Okay. Now that's what that's the goal. I think this is the last verse I have, boys. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20, 21. King James Version of the Bible. But in a great house, now listen, God's house is a great house. It's a mighty house. It's an everlasting house. It's the only house that's going to stand. I'm telling you, when it's over, it's going to be the only thing standing, and he's going to come down, the second coming of Christ. He's going to set his feet down on the Mount of Olives. There's going to be a war. The Bible says he's going to destroy the Antichrist with the brightness of his coming. Going to destroy the devil. The devil's going to, just with him returning, and he's going to set up a kingdom that'll last 1,000 years. And if a person dies in that reign, in that millennial reign, at 100 years old, they will have died premature, the word says in the book of Isaiah. If a man therefore purge himself from these, okay, in a great house, there's not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. You know, I've got a safe in my house, and I've got a toilet in my house. One of them holds my goodies. One of them holds my excrement. Kelly said, Dad, please stop. Please don't say poop or anything like that. Okay. All right. Okay. If a man therefore purge himself from these things, he'll be a vessel of honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared for every good work. See, what do you want to be in life? What do you want to be used for? Everywhere I go, there's people I pray for. Prayed for a lady I never met over at the sandwich shop today with Sam, a lawyer, a young lawyer from this town. I'm not going to mention her name. But I want to present something to you. That's what I have to do. I'm going to ask you something. Do you want to go to the place where Jesus Christ is and stop just wanting what you want and wanting to win the fights and wanting this, wanting that, and just want, you know what? Sometimes, you know, you can't lose when you just let go and let God. Little boy was in a barn shoveling manure. Very anxiously, like he was really into it. And a man said, my God, why are you shoveling all that manure? And he said, well, sir, with all that poop, there's got to be a pony in here somewhere. Oh, I wish you could get stuff like that. My God, people used to laugh at that. Did y'all get that? Now listen to me. Here's something I want you to get. God wants to take everybody to the next level, everybody in this room, including the kids. Whatever level you're at, he wants to take you to the next level. What that means is in your heart is saying this, Lord, nevertheless, not what I want, but your will be done. That's the golden prayer. That's the million-dollar prayer. That's the healing prayer. That's the power prayer right there. I don't expect anybody to stand up to that because it's going to cost you. But on the other hand, I believe somebody is hearing me tonight, either in this building. We're going to probably end this a little different. Why? Because we're running out of time. I've surrendered myself, and I do it every day. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Now, this is what I'm going to ask, and it's up to you. If you say, I want to go there. I want to be there. That's what I want to do. I want you to come up here. I'm going to lay hands on you. Now think it over, because let me tell you what I'm saying to you. You're going to give up your old life, and that's whatever's happened from behind. And you're ready to say to yourself, like the Virgin Mary, be it unto me as you said, Gabriel. Not my will, but your will be done. If anybody wants that, come up here. If not, that's up to you. It's up to you. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you.